This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender.
I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back.
She wrote about it.
Return the sender.
Elvis Presley for you. Remember that one?
I do.
That was one of his early ones. It was a good one. Return to Sender. I have to credit Big Ed. He's our musical maestro on our show. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, halfway through the month of September. We got 6 days left in the in summer, technically. Today is the 15th. In a few minutes, Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be with us, and we're going to talk about Google. They are being sued by the Department of Justice. It is an antitrust case. Are they too big? Jessica says the suit protects the competitors of Google and not the consumers. So we're going to talk about that. And the United Auto Workers have struck the big three car companies. How long will that take? How damaging will it be? Will it hurt Joe Biden? We're going to talk about it. Stay tuned. And did you hear about Hunter Biden? He was finally indicted. But is it too little, too late? As far as Republicans are concerned, we are going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, we gave you the top 10 private colleges. Or was it public colleges? Public colleges. But we're going to give you the top 10 overall best colleges according to the Wall Street Journal survey today at the end of our show. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, best place to get a haircut. Also, the price is unbelievably great. If you're a senior, you get even a better discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop is in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. Have any damaged trees from any of that storm we had? Well, whether it's tree enhancement, tree damage, tree removal, stump grinding, it's Arbor Life Tree Service. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right. So I know we got a lot to talk about when it comes to Hunter Biden, but the United Auto Workers have gone on strike. They went on strike last night at three plants owned by the big three automakers. By the way, did you know that the big three used to be Ford, GM, and Chrysler? Now it's called Ford, GM, and Stellantis. I didn't know that. And they're on, I don't know how long they're going to be going. There's a lot of dislike for Joe Biden by the, not by the corporate union bosses, but by the union employees themselves. The workers are striking at a plant in Missouri, a plant in Toledo, Ohio, and a plant in Wayne, Michigan. They are GM, Stellantis, and Ford plants, respectively. So they're doing a selective strike right now. But it could get worse, right? The union said in a post that the UAW stand-up strike began at all three of the big three. They put this out on X. And they always say X. Formerly known as Twitter. It's like the guy, what was it? Formerly known as Prince. I forget how they said that about that singer. The rock star formerly known as Prince, or the singer formerly known as... Anyway, it's X, formerly known as Twitter. So, here's Biden, who's... It's been a bad week for Biden. Let's face it. A bad, bad week for Biden. There's been an impeachment inquiry on him. His son has now been indicted. And all of the big three go on strike. Not a good week for him. Tonight at 4 o'clock, or this afternoon, I should say, will be a rally by the United Auto Workers. Doesn't say here exactly where it will be. But right now, listen to this. Did you know full-time assembly plant workers make about $32 and change per hour? That's not too bad, actually.
Yeah, but how much goes to the union?
I don't know. Union dues
and, yeah, and all that stuff.
That's true. Part-timers make about $17 an hour. So they almost make only about half, a little better than half of what full-timers make. I should say that was, well, they all make, it depends on which plant you're working at. The GMers, $32. Stellantis, $31 and change. They're all close. Anyway, they want more, and I think they want fewer hours. The union is also pushing for making all temps permanent. They want cost of living adjustments. They want a hike in their pension benefits for current retirees. And they want to restore pensions for new hires. I saw, I think it was the CEO of Ford. He's a young guy, by the way. Very young guy. I saw him on TV the other day. He said, they won't even talk to us. He said, we want to sit down and talk to them. They won't show up and talk to us. So they want to strike first, apparently. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll keep our eye on that. And we got some other things going on, do we not? What about our good buddy Hunter Biden? They finally indicted him, but not on anything worth a salt. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, they got him on the gun charge.
They got him on the gun charge. Well, that's he's going to get, but, if anything, he'll get a slap on the wrist for it.
But that's the one that carries a prison sentence. Where he's at, it's a minimum 2 years.
Ed, why aren't they going after him on tax evasion? That would carry a lot more of a sentence. Plus, it would connect to Joe. No, this is, I don't trust this one at all. Hunter Biden was indicted yesterday on a federal firearm charge. He could technically face up to 25 years in prison. He's not going to get it.
No.
Okay? He is facing three criminal counts. Making a false statement in the purchase of a gun, that carries 10 years. Let's see. A false statement related to info required to be kept by a licensed dealer, that carries 5 years, and possession of a gun by somebody who is an unlawful user or addicted to drugs, that's another 10 years. Now, you know, they're not going to, you know that this guy that is the prosecutor is in cahoots. You know that, right?
Sure.
Since he's in cahoots, they're going to cut a deal, okay? Is he going to bring up the indictment of Hunter Biden on tax evasion? It's clear that he didn't pay taxes on millions of dollars that he made. And that's the one to watch. This guy, Weiss, his hand was forced. Everybody saw. He could have brought this indictment on the gun charges a week after it was known that he had done this. Because Hunter already had said he's guilty on that. He was ready to plea deal on it. So I'm not too hopeful as a person that would like to see justice done, that justice will be done on this one. But we'll see what goes on. Now, of course, this follows his collapsed plea deal. again, which was arranged by Weiss and Hunter Biden's attorneys, that collapsed in front of a judge who said, wait a second, what's going on here? You want me to get rid of all charges if I accept this plea deal, and this guy is going to be as free as a deer roaming in the woods? I don't think so. And the judge said no. So the deal collapsed. Anyway, we will see where that goes. Trump, here's what Donald Trump had to say about this indictment. He said, he claimed on his Truth Social post that the gun charges were the only crime that Hunter Biden committed that does not implicate crooked Joe Biden. Let's see. Trump took to social media moments after this broke on Hunter. And he reiterated his claim that the Department of Justice is working to undermine him, meaning Trump, in the 2024 election. Anyway, we'll be talking more about that. Let's take our break, and we will change gears. Jessica Malugin is going to join us. We're going to talk about the antitrust case against Google.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday, halfway through the month of September already. Wow, it's moving quickly. We are delighted to have an old friend back, Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk about something that, quite frankly, Jessica, with everything else going on in Washington these days, this is almost a buried story, but it's such an important one. It's the Department of Justice's antitrust case against Google, and you say in this whole thing that they're missing sight of the fact that antitrust laws should be about protecting consumers and not competitors. And I think you make an excellent point, but would you talk to us a little bit about this case?
Yeah, hi guys. good morning. And you're right. There's so much going on in Washington that this has kind of gotten sidelined in the news, but I think it is really important. So what the government is alleging here is that the contract Google has to secure that its search tool is a default option, like when you buy an Apple phone or use an Apple browser, or maybe you buy an Android phone, that is what is your default option when you open it right out of the box. It says that those contracts are an illegal maintenance of search monopoly, meaning Google has a 90% general search share because of contracts like that, not because Google has a superior search tool. So that's the government's case. But the two problems with that, of course, are that Google is thought by most people to be a superior search tool. Also, it takes 2 to 4 clicks, depending on what kind of device we're talking about, to change your search defaults to a different search option. You could have DuckDuckGo, or you could have Bing. It's completely free to do that. It's really easy. And the second problem is, you know, what consumers get from these big contracts that Google has with the manufacturers are that those devices cost less when we go to buy them. So Google spends about $10 billion to companies like Apple and some phone carriers and some phone manufacturers. And what that means is those companies are able to sell their phones to us for less. So if the government intervened and broke that up, we'd be paying more for a phone.
You know, I think the point that you make about protecting consumers rather than competitors is right on target. First of all, if I buy a phone and that phone wants to have Google as its primary and it's easier to get to Google, so what? I mean, so what? I bought the phone, and if I don't like Google, A, I don't have to buy the phone. B, buy the phone, and like you say, with a couple of clicks, I can go to one of the other services to do it myself. It makes the consumer sound like a juvenile or an idiot.
Yeah, I think they're kind of underestimating consumers' ability to show what their preference here is. And one really good example of that is one of the search competitors, Microsoft Bing. That's preloaded when you buy a PC from Microsoft.
Right.
But what is the number one search term on that site? It's how do I change to the Google browser? How do I change to Chrome? How do I change to Google search? So even when that's the preloaded, people go back to Google. It's not that people are trapped with Google. It's that people are looking for Google,
right,
and conveniently they find it as a default set on many of the things they buy. And when it's not, they go back to it.
I'm kind of reminded, I remember Internet Explorer. You went and you bought a computer way back, it's not that far back, but anyway, and it automatically had Internet Explorer on there. And I do remember that there was some talk about, was there another one called Netscape? Netscape Navigator. Mm-hmm. Right, there you go. And so they had a little back and forth on that, but at the same time, you could go to either one and you could put it on your computer. It might be a little aggravating to do so, but you could do it. I think this one is even easier
for a consumer. That's exactly right. It's the same sort of thing, but this is so much quicker for people. And also, we're so much more used to dealing with this stuff. You know, when you got your disk in the mail for AOL.com, it was all a little new and confusing.
Right.
But now, you know, we use these things. They're on our bodies all the time. We use them for everything. I think, you know, there's a million YouTube videos how to change your default browser. It's free. It's easy. It's not. It's, this case is sort of in search of a real problem, right? And the other problem the government has is it says, oh, big, bad, huge Google, they have all this money and they secure all this spots, and poor competitors can't get their product out. The problem with that is one of the poor competitors they're talking about is Microsoft Bing, and Microsoft as a company is twice as big as Google. We all think of them as huge, and they are, but if you want to get technical about it, Microsoft, if they wanted to, could outbid Google and spend more money on getting those spots, but for whatever reason, it doesn't feel that that's a priority, and probably because the default is so easy to change, maybe, you know, Google thinks it's worth it, but Microsoft thinks maybe it's not. To me, that means it's a business decision. It's not a monopoly problem, right? Like, these are just different approaches, and we should let people in the business community run their companies as they see fit.
We're talking with Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about what I think is a rather... I have a lot of questions about why the Department of Justice would want to push an antitrust case, frankly, against Google at this point. Why, Jessica, is the government going after Google? Is it because of pressure from Bill Gates and Microsoft or something?
Well, I'll tell you how it's interesting about this case. It actually started during the Trump administration. That's when it was initially filed 3 years ago. And I sort of suspect that's you know, Trump had a big kind of show about being anti these companies because of their political views he disagreed with. So I think he pressured his DOJ to put something together so he could say he was, you know, dealing with them. Mm-hmm. The optics look like that. But then, of course, this new Biden administration, a DOJ could have dropped it. But instead, because they have just a problem with any company that's big and capitalism in general, frankly, they've decided to double down. And it's really not a good look for them, right? I mean, to say that this is a monopolist and that search has a problem is so silly when people love this product. And furthermore, so much has happened in the marketplace while this thing's been making its way to court, right? Just this year, we've seen Bing integrate artificial intelligence into its search. You know, in one way or another, that's probably going to be a game changer. And if Google can stay on top of it, well, good for them. They're innovating enough to do that. But if they're resting on their laurels, as monopolists can do, they'll be displaced because the market just moves faster than this government regulatory intervention ever could.
I am reminded what the late, great Milton Friedman said about monopolies. He said, only the government can create monopolies. And he was right. Think about it. Think about it. Yep. If you allow the free market, the unseen hand of the free market, to go about doing what it does and creating products and services, they will come up with all kinds of different products and services and allow consumers to make these choices. And in doing so, what do we end up with? We end up with each of those services that are vying to get your money to make themselves even better and more attractive to you. And that's how we get the best product at the best price. Milton Friedman was so right about this. And then I've always been against this concept, you know, this is a libertarian show, of the government placing its hand or fist upon any company that's really doing well and saying, you're doing too damn well. Look at all these other competitors. Look at them crying. We've got to help them. It is the worst thing you can do. Your thought on that?
I mean, preach. I'm with you 100%. If you don't like the Google search option, you can use DuckDuckGo for privacy or Brave. You have all these options. You are not going to get those options from the government monopolies that are actually the problem in your life, right? The IRS is not going to let you take your business elsewhere.
They stifle your competition. They stifle, in the long run, they stifle the opportunity of choice.
Yeah, and it's just so silly for the DOJ to be going after an American company like this when the real threats, you know, there's plenty of companies located and influenced by governments who are not friendly to us. And we don't want to lose market share and lose technological progress to those kinds of regimes, right? That's just foolish. To handicap U.S. tech companies and think that somehow everyone else is going to fall in line around the world with those regulations is so foolish and so harmful on so many fronts to the U.S. economy, to workers, to consumers, and probably ultimately to our national security. So this is a case where the DOJ just needs to get out of the way and let the market keep giving consumers what they want.
Jessica, what do you think is going to happen here? Do you think that the government is going to be able to break up Google?
I would be surprised. The DOJ and the FTC have a much different policy agenda than most of people sitting on the bench in our courts. They're tied to a more restrained antitrust doctrine that it puts the consumer at the center, puts consumer welfare as the priority of antitrust. So, you know, so far on the cases, and those have been merger cases, not quite like this, but the current FTC is 0-4 on their merger challenges. So I'd be surprised if they're successful. Yeah, I'd be surprised if they're successful in court, but it's something to be aware of, right?
Yes.
That anytime businesses are in court defending themselves, they could be using that time and those resources on innovating, and that's a real bummer for taxpayers and consumers.
And you know, these days when you've got services like Google and the politics and you know what they've been talking about with you know, stifling free speech, and if you click on Google and you type in certain thing, you don't get certain responses, and you know, all of that stuff. Do you think that in some ways the government is intimidating Google a little bit by threatening this and making them maybe stand more in line with what the government wants them to show consumers? In other words, is there a political motive to this?
Yeah, I think that for a long time, we, you know, a lot of people on the right were mad at these tech companies for their bias against people who think like us. But I think, as the Twitter files showed, they're under a lot of, it's actually the government that was pressuring them, right? And if you have, you have shareholders to be responsible for, you have employees that you want to keep paying, and you have the government saying, I'm going to come after your Section 230 protections, I'm going to come after you for antitrust and break you up, you don't want those things to happen, right? You don't want those headaches. So you're going to try to do what you can to appease this threat. And that's the heart of this problem. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people in these companies that maybe lean more left than some of America, but we can deal with that, right? We live in a civil society. That's okay. There's options. Elon Musk comes in and buys it, and now we have a better mixed bag. Those things work themselves out. But when you have government pressuring a company, you get into some really sticky territory with what's a First Amendment violation. And we need to be very careful to keep government out of these decisions. They have pressure for advertisers to keep content not too offensive to anyone. That's a market reality for these companies. But there shouldn't be government pressure on how they moderate their sites.
Jessica Baloogian, it is always an absolute pleasure and a learning situation when you come on. Thank you so very much. Look forward to our next chat.
It is my pleasure, as do I.
Thank you, Jessica. Jessica Baloogian, all right, Competitive Enterprise Institute. What a woman. All right, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, hey, Joe Biden is making things up about himself again? Oh, gosh. We're going to tell you about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Friday. Yippee. So, another chapter in the fictional story of Joe Biden. Biden claimed yesterday that he taught political theory at the University of Pennsylvania while he was making remarks yesterday in Maryland about the economy. There is no evidence he ever taught a class ever at the school, despite being named an honorary professor there. I guess if you're named an honorary professor, at least in his mind, that means that you've been there and you've been physically teaching. He mentioned it. He said during the speech, he took a minute to talk about the threats that democracy is currently facing in America. And he referenced the expertise in seeing the threat that he developed, he said, while teaching at the University of Pennsylvania. Here's what he said. Democracy is at stake, folks. Our democracy is under attack, and we got to fight for it. I taught at the University of Pennsylvania for 4 years, and I used to teach political theory. And folks, you always hear every generation has a right to fight for democracy. And I found myself, it's automatic. We didn't have to believe it, but we do. We do. So, I guess, you know, I think maybe in his own mind, he really was teaching over there. Maybe when he's having, when he's sleeping, he's dreaming about that. Hey!
I'm telling you, he's getting to be like that.
Do you think old
grandpa that just sits in the corner in his chair and tells stories.
Yeah. Or you ever see in those movies about the old guy that used to fight in some war, and every time he tells a story, he's become more and more courageous.
I remember.
Hey!
I can't take any questions or I'm going to get in trouble.
We got our buddy Andrew the Master Barber. By the way, guys, the best haircutting facility in Tampa Bay is Andrew's Master Barbershop. Andrew, I know that it gives you great pleasure to hear about the wonderful teaching years of Joe Biden. So what's going on with you? How are you doing?
You can say he was in my barbershop. Yeah, we're doing all right. He's never been there either.
So he's the, it's kind of a strange situation. Hey, I got something I want to ask you about, Andrew. There's a new Fox News poll. I don't know if you saw about this, but more people think Trump has mental soundness than Joe Biden. Now, that should not be a surprise, but there's some other things in here that might be. A majority, 61%, say Joe Biden does not have the mental soundness needed for the job that he holds. That has risen steadily over the last 3 years. It's up 5 points since a year ago. While more voters see Biden lacking mental sharpness, fewer believe he is dishonest in comparison to Donald Trump. 46% think Trump has the cognitive capability necessary to be president, but over half, 52%, do not. Now, I don't know how they come up with the concept that Donald Trump doesn't have the cognitive ability. He sounds as sharp as a tack to me.
You know, Paul, it's only 39% of the people don't know what's going on.
I think you're right. I think more
than that simple.
So, this is a bad week for Joe Biden, Andrew. Think about it.
It's going to get better. It's going to get better.
It's going to get better. Meaning worse. Is that what you mean?
It's going to make me laugh, Paul. Now that they indicted Hunter Biden, they're going to come out and say to Democrats, see, our justice system is perfect.
Yeah.
That's why Donald Trump has got to be tried. And if they can go after the president's son, well, they can go after Donald Trump.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, and I listen on a regular basis to C-SPAN in the morning. They have these call-ins. And they got all these people calling in and saying, well, look at what Donald Trump's son-in-law was doing. He was going over and he was making millions of dollars and he was doing this and... Well, yeah, but he was doing that on his own, and he ran an actual business.
That's right. Paul, again, 50% of the population don't know what's going on or have a clue.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Here's something you might be interested in. I don't know if you heard about this one, Andrew. A newly released transcript reveals that, you know that IRS whistleblower, Gary Shapley?
Yes.
That had the courage to get up and say he thought that they were being blocked from doing a real good investigation of Hunter Biden.
Right.
Well, it turns out that a newly released transcript shows that Gary Shapley's boss recommended removing Shapley from the investigation into Hunter Biden, despite Shapley's confirming key parts of what he was, looking into. The guy got called on the carpet. and his name is Daniel Walden. He was the boss. He said, I recommended that Shapley be removed from the investigation due to what I perceived to be an unsubstantiated allegation about motive, intent, and bias. My goal was to protect the integrity of the investigation and figure out a way forward. But even inside the IRS, these poor guys were being blocked. That's what I was getting at, you know?
Right. There's no question, Paul. The guy was coming to tell the truth. The boss knew what was going on. He said there was bias. He tried to get rid of him.
Yeah. So we got the impeachment inquiry going on. We got the Hunter Biden indictment. Do you think he's going to spend a day in jail on this if he's found guilty of the gun charges?
No. Actually, I think this is a perfect setup to try and go after Trump even more. It's like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can say that the justice system, they can't say that, you know, Hunter got off because of this and that.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a perfect thing for them to be doing.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's not going to prison. He never will.
Okay. And Weiss, the so-called special prosecutor. By the way, the special prosecutor, according to the rules, is not supposed to be within the government. And Weiss is within the government. They were supposed to go outside of the government to find a special prosecutor.
That's right. And they didn't.
No. I mean, anybody that thinks that the fix is not in, I think is not really being honest about it and truthful.
Of course. Paul, there's so much going on, and you know what? If they're going to get rid of Biden, they got to do it in the next month or two.
Hey, here's a scenario. You might think about this. Hunter Biden is found guilty. He's sentenced to, let's say, 2.5 years in prison by the judge. Joe Biden, the president, steps in, and he pardons him. And then decides, because he pardoned him, he can't win again, and he does not seek re-election. Do you think that's a possibility?
Of course.
He's
not going to seek re-election. He's going to step down. I guarantee you, within a month or two, you're going to see something happen.
I think you and I agree on that. Ed agrees. He's nodding his head.
Absolutely.
All three of us agree that he's not going to seek re-election one way or the other.
If he voluntarily steps down, it takes out Kamala, too.
Well, that's what they're doing right now. They're trying to figure out what they got to do with Kamala. That they got to get her out of the picture.
Well, if he decides he's not seeking re-election, that means they've kind of gotten her out of the picture right away, because then we're going to have somebody else that may step up to run.
You know what's going to happen, though?
What?
The people, the Democrat women are going to complain, because they're saying rightfully she's next in line here. Even though he's withdrawing, you know, she's a black woman. Why are they doing this to her?
Yeah.
They might come into some
problem. Not so sure if he says I'm not running again, and he's giving them enough time to have all these others come in. You know, Kamala Harris can be part of that.
That was brought up with the cackling hens on The View. The one black lady said, if he dumps her and they look for someone else, you're going to lose the black vote because we're not interchangeable.
Yeah. Of course that's going to be a possibility, but don't you think our friend out in California, Gavin Newsom is possibly waiting in the wings. He's just waiting.
Fine, but he's not going to pick her as a running mate.
No, he's not.
The only person that's more hated than Joe Biden is Kamala Harris.
That's why you're right. He won't pick her. But that's how they get out of worrying about losing the vote, the black vote, right?
You know, Paul, they're losing the black vote anyway right now.
They are, to some extent. You're right.
They're losing the Hispanic vote. I mean,
yes, they are.
I was just looking this morning, between the Hispanic and the black vote, it used to be like negative 12%. Now the black vote is up positive 7%. So it went up 17 points.
Trump is actually, technically, if most of the polls, I think, that are legitimate, are showing Trump either tied or ahead of Joe Biden. He's up by 2 points.
Yeah, it's up 48-46.
Well, and it depends on which poll you're looking at,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's close, right? But it's close up until now, because we haven't really been talking very long about what Joe Biden's criminal situation is. But we've been talking for years, and the indictment of Donald Trump, you know. So I think this is going to go even stronger for Trump.
That's right. Paul, the truth keeps coming out more and more every day. And more every day, they're seeing that Trump was right about everything. I mean, let's face the facts.
He's also pulling away even further from Ron DeSantis, if you look at the latest polling.
Yep.
It's kind of interesting how he's like at 60%, and like DeSantis is down, and don't quote me, but something like 13%, and then Ramaswamy is at 11%, or something like, and Haley's at 8%. Everybody else is, you know what I mean?
So they all should get off the stage, Paul.
Yeah.
They should. This is the point where they should all say, you know what? We are all backing Donald Trump. You know, what's going on now is proof of how much he won the election again in 2020. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see these people going after Trump now even more so, Paul.
Yeah.
Even more so. The account. And look at these idiots this morning going on strike, the United Auto Workers.
Yep.
How stupid can these people be? They want a 46% pay increase. They want a 4-day work week, but paid for 40 hours. Okay? They want more free. Are these people nuts? They're already higher priced cars than the imports to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
The economy is bad. I mean, what is this strike going to bring up these cars if they give in? Another 30%? They won't sell them. People can't afford it.
There's all kinds of a political situation inside of these things. They're also upset about the electric vehicles.
That's right.
You know, and the fact that they're not selling. Biden's pushing them. I think he's alienating. Biden is alienating the common United Auto Worker, even though the union heads are Democratic. I don't think this is good for Biden.
I don't think it's good for any of them.
No.
They're making a big mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. GM does have other plants, you know.
They do.
Okay.
And we're
they got them in Mexico. They got them in China.
They're going to send their work, even more work, down to the right-to-work states.
That's right.
And the right-to-work plants where the unions are not as strong.
And think of all those cars that have been, the new cars that have been sitting dormant because they don't have parts for them.
Look at what they went through earlier this year with not being able to get the computers for the cars. The production was slowed down ridiculously then, okay? They couldn't get new cars. The new car dealers had no inventory whatsoever. Now they're doing this. What are these people thinking?
I know. It does seem kind of, you know, they're making about $32 or $33 an hour now.
That's for pushing a broom. The robots do most of the work now.
Well, they're going to force it to have even more robotics.
That's right.
They're going to, in the long run, they're going to lose out.
No question about it.
My friend, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much for calling in. How do you feel? You feeling good?
I'm feeling great. I'm in the middle of putting a central air conditioning unit in.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's work.
Not too bad.
No?
Well, it keeps you going.
Yeah, it keeps you busy, that is for sure. Well, good luck with that, and thanks, Andrew. We'll be talking with you next week.
All right, guys. Be good.
All right. All right, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 best colleges in the U.S.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you have fallen trees or damage from Hurricane Idalia? Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999. We are a veteran-owned Florida business with an ISA-certified arborist on site to handle your tree needs. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. We are licensed, insured, and have the manpower to come to your rescue today. No job too big or too small. Call us now at 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. Your trees will thank you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on Friday for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. All you've got to do is go to our website anytime you'd like, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all the shows. You'll see the most recent show at the top, and you'll see who the guest was. You'll see the topic, and you'll see the top 10. What more can you ask for? OurFreedomWorks.com. So, I guess there's been a lot. Let's get right to sports, because I do want to talk to Ed a little bit before we get to our top 10. We got a few minutes. We got two things going on. We've got our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Game 2 this weekend, and we've got our beloved Tampa Bay Rays, and this is September, so we're getting towards the home stretch. Let's start with the Buccaneers, Ed. Who are they playing this week?
Your beloved Bears at home.
Oh, my goodness, are they? So I get to watch the game.
Yes.
Well, the way the Bears played against the Green Bay Packers, I don't hold up much hope. What do you think?
Well, you know, that's when you get beat, when you kind of think, oh, no problem, we'll get a win there. Let's get beat. So,
always, well, we'll see what happens.
But on paper, the Bucs should win this
they
game.
They should we'll be see. Favored.
We'll see.
Yeah, I think they... Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to root for the Bears.
But the interesting story, of course, is the Rays, who are in Baltimore.
That's what I want to ask you
going
about.
Going into this four-game series, we're behind two games of Baltimore, who is leading the NL East.
So the Baltimore is in first place, yes. And the Rays are two games behind in second place.
Second place.
Okay, go ahead.
Took the game last night, 4-3, the Rays did. So
cool.
Now they will play tonight, tomorrow, and then Saturday.
So they have a chance. They sweep, they'll be in first.
If they win three, they're in first.
Yeah.
If they win three out of four.
That's pretty good.
And they left that game last night. The Baltimore fans were very upset. And I love it when your visiting team makes your home team boo. And they were
mad. Where are they booing, huh? What were they upset about? The poor performance of the Orioles?
The umpire behind the plate was calling strikes on everything. I mean, in the way out to the left, to the right, but it was fair because he was screwing both
teams.
But it's both sides. Yeah. At least he was consistent.
Yeah.
The strike zone was very big.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rays, they got it. It was tied. The Rays were winning. Then Baltimore came back and tied it 3-3, and I think it was the eighth. The Rays go up by one and held on.
So let me ask you. We've been talking all year about the soap opera that was going on in the dugout with the Rays. Is that been cleared up?
Well, that's over with because Juan DeFranco is not allowed back in baseball until the investigation is complete.
And what has he been banned?
Our shortstop, the one that had the problem with his teammates and whatnot. Well, he's under investigation for having relationships with underage girls.
Okay.
In the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
So until the investigation is over, he's out.
That has settled the team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so everything is kind of settled.
It's settled down.
But do you
good.
Realize the Rays went through 40 pitchers this year?
40?
40.
Because of injuries?
Yes.
That's almost like
a
plague.
And they're always at the top of the league every year. And I don't know why, because Kevin Cash, the manager, is always quick with the hook. Don't want him to get, don't want him to get hurt. Let's get him out early. Get him out early.
Had 40. They went
40 pitchers this year.
Amazing. Well, I guess in the long run, that gives you a chance to see what you got in your farm system.
Three or four of them having Tommy John surgery, which is season ending and then half the next season.
Yeah. Wow. We've already talked about Aaron Rodgers and that horrible situation in football. Let's hope that nothing like that happens. I don't want to wish either team between the Bucks and the Bears. I just don't want to see those kind of injuries. All right, let's go to our top 10. We have a good one. These are the top 10 overall best U.S. colleges, according to a survey done by the Wall Street Journal and College Pulse. They have what they call the 2024 best colleges in the U.S. It rates the top 400 universities in the country based on two major things: student and alumni surveys and student outcome metrics, okay? They surveyed more than 60,000 students and alumni. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is Boston College. Boston College. It's always been considered a good place to go, and they are leading off our group. Number 9. And I'm not sure where it is, but I think it's in the east. Claremont McKenna College. I think that's in the northeast somewhere. I have to check that out. Number 8. Amherst. Amherst University. That's a big one. Number 7. Another one, it's just an Ivy Leaguer, I believe. Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania University. Okay. Number 6. Now, this one surprises me because it isn't ranked higher. Number 6 is Harvard.
Harvard!
You know, Harvard is always, you always consider it 1 or 2.
Yeah.
But they're down. For them, it must be. You know that they're considered the school that has the most, the biggest censorship problem?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no.
They're number 1.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, or they're let's put it, they're at the bottom when it comes to free speech.
Yep.
Okay. Number 5, Columbia. Yes, indeed, Columbia in New York. Number 4. Now, here's another one that I always figure is either first or second. Stanford University is 4th.
Mm.
So I wonder if they feel that that's a bit of a come down. Number 3. Yale. Well, you know, all of these colleges we're mentioning, no, there should be no surprise in terms of the quality of education. Can you imagine how much it must cost for a 4-year?
No.
That's a lot of money, I'll tell you what. Number 2. MIT.
MIT.
Yeah, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. They are always up there. Amazing. All right, Ed. I don't know if you... Do you want to take a guess? I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. It is an Ivy League college that we haven't mentioned yet.
Princeton?
Bingo! You are correct, sir.
Well, you know,
very
Harvard
good.
Harvard and Princeton are usually close together.
They are, and Yale.
Yeah.
Yale, Harvard, and Princeton.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. But you're right. It's Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey. You know who taught there for a while? Not Joe Biden.
Oh, no.
Albert Einstein. He taught there. Pretty interesting. We actually have a little bit of time left. So I don't know if there's anything worthwhile that we want to talk about other than we have the debates coming up again for the presidential primary in Simi Valley, California, and that will be coming up. There's only a 6 of those people that have qualified for
so
that.
So the field
one.
Is down to 6.
It's down to 6 right now. DeSantis, Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, Tim Scott, and Chris Christie.
Oh, Christie got it.
He made it. We'll see if they can add a few. All right, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.